At Oakwood Heart Jewelers, you'll find that perfect gift that expresses your love. Spectacular creations in pearls, emeralds, sapphires, rubies, or those famous Oakwood Heart diamonds that stand out from all the rest. Choose from a vast selection of rings, bracelets, earrings, and necklaces like no other. Our commitment for creating breathtaking jewelry right here in our Metairie Road store is not only rare, it's the very reason we can bring you the best for less. Your satisfaction means everything to us at Oakwood Heart Jewelers. Beautiful in more ways than one.
Have you been battling the IRS? Has the pandemic set you back even more tax-wise? Hi, I'm Kerry Bryson with the Bryson Law Firm, headquartered in Lafayette, Louisiana. As you strive to get back to normal, now is also the time to get your tax life back to normal. And this is especially true if your finances were hit hard by the pandemic. I know it's hard to see a way out from your tax struggles, but you need to know that tax resolution plans are based on your current income. That means post-pandemic income. So if your income is down, now is the perfect time to solve your tax problem. Let Bryson Law Firm create a custom plan based on what you can afford now, not what you made before the pandemic. Make freedom from the IRS part of your new normal. Call Bryson Law Firm today at 504-875-3422 to schedule your free initial consultation with your local tax resolution law firm or visit us at brysonlawfirm.com.
Thank you, Dave. If you love music, you got to check out Odyssey's new exclusive stations, literally hundreds of them, curated for music lovers, and there's something for every mood, every interest, every passion. You can download the Odyssey app today and check out fantastic stations like Rock and Road, great rock and roll for long road trips, some good sing-along songs there, Let the Good Times Roll, New Orleans Musical Gumbo with jazz, zydeco, funk, Cajun, even rock and soul. The Seattle Sound, 90s music from the Pacific Northwest that changed everything. Sweetest soul, classic hits from the pioneers of R&B. And classic hits from Motown to Marley to the Beatles and B-52s. In the music you grew up, it's the Beatles and B-52s, the music you grew up with can be the music they grow up with. Bach beats, upbeat tunes for fun in the sun. These are just a few of the amazing Odyssey exclusive stations. There are literally hundreds, everything from Christian rock to pop to reggae, Latin classical, even kids and family and 4th of July grilling music. Download the Odyssey app today and then find your favorites. It's 9:10 now, WWL, and I thought we'd invite Dave Newman on because I went shopping for guns over the weekend and a lot of people were. And I thought it would be a good idea to kind of educate people as to what's involved in the process and maybe if they are going to get a gun, what would be the right gun for them, et cetera. And with that, we welcome in Dave Newman, owner of Concealed Carry NOLA. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing all right, Tommy. How about you?
I'm well. Thanks for taking the time with us. And I would encourage people, if you have any questions, and there are no dumb questions, to text them in at 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along to Dave and see what he has to tell you. First of all, Dave, when it comes to buying a gun, they're not very easy to get right now, are they?
No, right now there's a extreme high demand, and the supply is kind of low because of that. It's always supply and demand when it comes to purchases. So everybody's trying to buy guns at the same time, and it makes it harder to make that decision because you don't usually have a lot of options when you go out to purchase.
When it comes to home defense, is there an ideal home defense weapon? Or if you're going to carry the weapon concealed, is there ideal weapons for that? Walk us through all of that, if you would.
Okay, so see that the first problem that a lot of people have is first they got to decide what they're going to use the firearm for, okay? Because we say weapon. Weapon could be a lot of different things. Talk about, is it a handgun? Is it a shotgun? Is it a rifle? Those are all firearms. So the first thing before you purchase any firearm is to decide what is the use for it, its intended use, because that's going to determine the criteria and what you get. So when we talk about self-defense, then we got to say, okay, are we going to have it just for the home, your car? Is it going to be at your place of work? Or is it going to be something that you're planning on carrying concealed? So that adds different criteria if you're going to plan to carry it concealed. So we're talking about self-defense, obviously, because of your question. I've had people tell me that they think that having a AR-15 rifle is a good home defense weapon, and I would say no to that because, first of all, it's a high-velocity rifle round, and it's probably going to over-penetrate and go through walls and hurt people in the next room or even in the house next door. A decent home defense gun firearm would be a shotgun for sure. Shotguns are very good for that, for home defense. They're also good for hunting as well, but that would be another use. But mainly a handgun would be probably the choice that most people would make. Now, for self-defense, to me, there's four criteria that you need to think about for a self-defense gun. The first one is it's got to be reliable because you want it to work when you need it to because this is your insurance policy against somebody harming you or your family. The second criteria is going to be shootability. How well can you shoot this thing? Because if you can't hit your target with it, what's the point in having it? And then the next two are going to be how many rounds is in it, and then concealability. Now, concealability is only if you plan it on carrying it concealed. But the number of rounds is very important, and that's why I put it third, because statistics according to the FBI show that people are going to miss a lot under the stress of the moment because your adrenaline's pumping, your heart's jumping out of your chest, your hands are starting to shake. You're getting tunnel vision, auditory exclusion, time dilation, all these things that are going to happen to you that cause you to throw off your shot. So it's very important to understand that you need more rounds because you're probably going to miss. So you got to start with those criteria before you even head to the store.
Let me talk about those things. What did you say? Auditory what? How did you phrase that?
Auditory exclusion means that, like you say, if someone is attacking you right now, Tommy, your significant other may be right next to you, yelling things to you, look out, you know, something like that. He's over there. He's got a gun. You don't even hear what they're saying because all you hear is what that person that's attacking you is saying because you're so focused on them. It's kind of part built into that fight or flight response we have naturally built into us to help us survive. You focus on whatever the threat is.
And what did you say about time?
Time dilation is you think that time is slowing down. Now, it's the feeling that time is slowing down. Time has not changed. All it is that you're thinking faster. It's like a camera getting more frame per second because your brain is going to start running what we call OODA loops faster, start observing, orienting, deciding, and acting and on what's going on around you. And so you just start thinking even really fast, and when you start thinking faster, it seems like time is slowing down because you are thinking faster than you normally would.
Okay. I had a surgeon friend tell me one time that he heard some noise, and I mentioned that he was a surgeon because this is a person that's trained to operate under stress, right, and to control hand movements and so forth. It's very important in delicate surgery. And he said that he came downstairs with a handgun, and due to the adrenaline, he couldn't stop his hands from shaking. And that really stuck with me, hearing that from a surgeon who was trained in terms of coping with stress and keeping his hands still and so forth. And that made me think that really when it comes to home defense, you can't beat a shotgun because you really don't have to be that accurate, right? I mean, you just kind of point.
Well, see, and that's another misnomer. See, people will say phrases like a shotgun will clear a room. Well, the pellets don't spread out that fast. I don't know if you've ever done any duck hunting or anything like that, but, you know, within the distance of across a room, they're going to probably spread out, you know, maybe a 10-inch circle, maybe. So people think that it would, like, you know, just splatter the whole wall and across the room from them and at least hit something. It's not quite that spread. The spread doesn't spread out that fast because if it did, think about if you're hunting and you're trying to shoot a dove and that dove is, you know, 50 yards above you and down range and you shot at it. And if it spread out that fast, you might only have one pellet hit the dove or not hit it at all.
But it would be easier control, would it not, Dave, if your hands are shaking
a
shotgun?
It's a very frightening thing to have a shotgun go off in your general direction. So it tends to have the fear factor on top of it.
And I think unless it's a paid assassin. I would say unless it's a paid assassin, when they hear that slide, I would think they would pretty well clear the room,
exactly.
But maybe not. I don't know.
That, exactly. When you rack it, that tends to make them run away a little bit too. So a lot of people like that factor as well.
When you say dependability, reliability, that I guess maybe brings us to revolvers and semi-automatics. Walk us through all of that, if you will, for somebody that's thinking about getting a gun.
Okay. Well, a very old school way of looking at handguns would say that a revolver is way more reliable than semi-automatics, and that was a true statement at one time. When they were comparing revolvers to semi-autos back in those days, 70s, maybe early 80s, they were considering the 1911, which is the semi-automatic that's very popular. Very popular in movies. They're very pretty guns. They're very Hollywood-looking. They don't have a lot of rounds in them, but they do have the most moving parts out of any semi-automatic in the history of semi-automatics. So therefore, they're more prone to, you know, jamming and things like that, ammunition sensitivity, if you don't take care of your business of cleaning them and things like that. But revolvers used to be more reliable than that gun. But that gun was designed in 1911. That's why it's called 1911. Mm-hmm. But since then, Gaston Glock has come up with the Glock. And the Glock has the least amount of moving parts in the history of any semi-automatic pistol. And the least amount of moving parts creates more reliability because there's less failure points. The more moving parts you have, the more things can go wrong. It's just like a car with a bunch of gizmos on it. When something goes wrong, it's a lot harder to fix.
So revolvers
tend to be very reliable, but they still have to be a quality revolver, Tommy. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about that reliability factor comes from getting a quality gun. How do you make something cheaper? Anything. Pick anything on the market. You make it out of cheaper parts, right? So the same thing's going to apply to any handgun, either the revolver or semi-auto. So when people ask me, what should I buy and how much should I spend, my first question to them is, how much is your life worth? Because this is your insurance policy to save your life if someone's attacking you. You buy a $180 gun, it's not going to work like a $500 gun. I don't care if it's a revolver or a semi-automatic.
When it comes to the material out of which the gun is made, and let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back, Dave.
Sure.
I know there's stainless steel. There's, I don't know if they still make them blue where you got to oil them up and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about maintenance, materials, recoil, et cetera. The lighter the gun, I guess the more recoil maybe, or maybe that's not necessarily true. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. We're talking to Dave Newman, owner of Concealed Carry NOLA. And with only 35% of people feeling safe in New Orleans, and I can attest to this, over the weekend, the gun shops were full, and the selection is sparse. So we're trying to kind of walk you through that process, make sure you get what is best for you, what it is that you want, and that you are an educated buyer, so you know what the different types of guns are, different materials, etc. And if you have any questions or comments, text them, please, to 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along to Dave Newman, and hopefully we'll get you going in the right direction. Tommy Tucker back in a flash here on WWL. Talking to Dave Newman, owner of Concealed Carry NOLA. I'm Tommy Tucker, and we know a lot of people are buying guns these days. It's hard to get a gun, as a matter of fact. In a store, Dave mentioned you can get them online and then have it shipped to somebody with a federal firearms license. You pay a fee for that. That's when they conduct the background check, and that's when you get the gun. Dave, somebody texted in here, and I think it's a good question, with a semi-automatic. Do you keep a bullet in a chamber? What's the safest way to do that, or do you just slide the chamber and rack the round when it's time to use it?
Okay, well, the short answer is you keep a round in the chamber. But the longer answer is going to be, are you going to be carrying it on you concealed, or are you going to just have it in your home? If it's just in your home, you might have time to rack the slide and chamber the round. If you're carrying it on the street and it's your self-defense gun while you're out in the public, then you need to have a round in the chamber, because no one's going to wait for you to present your gun and chamber a round when they're trying to ambush you.
That tells me a double-action revolver, because you know it's going to work, or not necessarily.
Well, why wouldn't a semi-automatic with a round in the chamber work?
Well, but it would be safer, it would seem like, if the hammer's not, no?
Okay, let's think this all the way through, Tommy.
Okay.
If you've got your revolver fully loaded, did you know that, you could just as much have an accidental discharge as you can with a semi-automatic with a round in the chamber?
With the trigger, you mean? Just pulling the trigger?
Well, you don't even, as a matter of fact, you can drop your revolver. Say you drop your revolver on the ground and it just happens to hit on the back of it where the hammer is.
Yeah.
Without touching the trigger, it'll go off.
Even if the hammer's
concealed?
Whereas
if you have a Glock,
not concealed,
if you have a Glock that has a round in the chamber, it's designed to be drop safe.
Really? See, that's why it's important,
sure,
that you find out what you're talking about. And, Dave, that's what you do. I mean, you own concealed carry NOLA. I'm just wondering, who are your clients these days? Are you seeing... has there been a change in terms of doctors, lawyers, whatever?
Business operators? a lot of professionals, quite a few doctors. As a matter of fact, this weekend I've got at least three lawyers in my class. I do private classes as well, where I go to people's office and we do classes in their office and then go to the range to shoot. So we have business owners that want their staffs trained. If they're going to be carrying guns, because they come to them saying, well, I want to carry a gun. Is it okay if I bring it in the workplace? And then they decide to actually get them trained so that they feel safer about them having guns in the workplace. I also work with some law enforcement people who are trying to just better themselves so they do a better job. See, to understand that the more you practice, the more likely you are to wait for the correct moment to use that firearm. If you don't practice, you're going to be more likely to pull it out too soon. And one of the biggest problems I find over the last 11 years of teaching a concealed carry class is that I find a lot of people have very bad ideas about the use of force. They have a hard time understanding where their rights stop and somebody else's rights start, because we're all supposed to have equal rights. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that they get an education on the use of force laws and how the weapon of last resort, which a firearm is, how that is seen by the justice system.
Well,
so
what kind of confusion? If I could ask you, Dave, what kind of confusion, like, for example?
An example would be, I've had many people say that all I got to do is say I'm in fear for my life and empty the magazine. It's a very popular phrase on the street. They think that reasonableness has nothing to do with it. That it's all about their perception of the moment. No one can tell them when they're in fear for their life, which is a true statement. But some people's fears are not reasonable. And if reasonableness has nothing to do with it, then why in the five laws that pertain to use of force that are required to go over for a concealed handgun permit, RS 14, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22, the words reasonable and reasonably is written 20 different times. But yet people think reasonableness has nothing to do with it. And then we have a reasonable man standard that applies in all 50 states that we cover as well. So when you're traveling, you need to know that as well. But they also talk about reasonableness, that clear, present, imminent threat of death or great bodily harm.
I think people need to remember that it's going to be viewed through a political prism as well, don't you think, of what's going on at
sir.
The time?
That's
as
true.
Far as
that's
whether
very
you're
true. That's something else we discuss. And that's what we talk about. I feel like my job in these classes is to help people stay out of a courtroom, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could see as in cases that are in the public eye, how things can go sideways based on politics, based on, perceptions, all kinds of different things. So you don't want to wind up in the system. You don't want to wind up in a courtroom. Because even if you think you were right, you might not be.
Dave, I preach that constantly, and that is, before you want to be a cowboy, you better think it through, because you're going to be in the system, and once you're in the system, you lose control of what happens to you. Fair
statement. Right. That's right. That's true.
What about cleaning a gun? How important is it? How often do you do it? Do you have to maintain it, even if you don't shoot
it? Every time you shoot a gun, you should clean it, Tommy. It's that simple.
Okay.
You don't want to find out it's just dirty enough to not work when you need it to save your life.
And how do you prevent accidents while you're cleaning it, because it's always the unloaded gun that kills people, right?
Yeah. There's very simple rules. The first thing you got to do is make sure the gun is unloaded. That is the first rule in cleaning a gun, is make sure it's unloaded. You've got to one of the things we teach in our class, the first lesson you're going to learn is how to unload and show clear. In other words, to make sure the gun is unloaded and it's safe. Because all a handgun is, or a rifle or shotgun is a tool to fire cartridges. And if there's no cartridges in it, then it can't fire. So the first thing you want to do is make sure it's unloaded. And during that process, some of your semi-automatics, you might have to pull the trigger to do so. So you want to drop the magazine first, because that's the source of the ammunition. You remove the source of the ammunition first. And then you want to rack the slide to unchamber around, but yet you still can't count on that. So you need to learn how to lock your slide back by pushing up on the slide stop. As you pull back on the slide, it will lock your action open so you can see that the chamber is empty before you even think about disassembling it to clean it. And that's where people make the mistake. They've removed the magazine and assume the gun is empty. They don't check the chamber.
You don't want the first time you use whatever gun you decide to get to be in defense of your life, do you?
No, definitely not. You wouldn't take one martial arts class and expect to Bruce Lee somebody. But yet people think they don't have to take classes at all, and they think they're ready for anything once they have a gun in their hand.
Couple more texts that are coming in here. Ammunition. Is it hard to get ammunition right now?
Yes, it is. Some calibers are harder than others. Right now, 38 Special, 380 are extremely difficult to find. You can find 9mm, but it's usually very expensive. The prices are going up because of supply and demand. 40 cal is a little easier to find. 45 is a little easier to find. Usually you're going to have to buy it online unless you're willing to wait in the line and get up early and go to an Academy Sports or somewhere like that, because you got to get it once it comes in. They got people waiting. They know what days it comes in, and they're waiting in line to get it.
In terms of cleaning a gun, getting back to this, a text pops up. If you don't shoot it, sure. Do you have to clean it?
At least once a year. You don't realize that there's air in the air. There's dust and dust particles and things like that. Even a gun that's left untouched or in a drawer can accumulate enough dust and dirt to affect its functioning. So you want to take it out at least once a year and give it a cleaning, just to make sure it's still working right.
Somebody else texted in, who can carry concealed and who is prevented from doing that as the law stands right now? Who could take your class?
To carry the gun concealed. You got to be 21 years of age to get a concealed handgun permit. You have to be a Louisiana citizen to get a Louisiana permit, which means you have to have a Louisiana driver's license or ID. And then you have to take a class to get a certificate of training from an instructor that's registered with Louisiana State Police Concealed Handgun Unit like me. And you get that certificate of training, you apply with the state, and they mail you your permit. Now, the permit is $125 for a five-year permit. And my regular schedule class is $100. So if you break it down, you're looking at probably about $40 a year over that five-year period to get that permit.
Do you take care of everything with the filling out the this or that or the other thing and show people how to do that, or they have to do that before they see you?
Yeah, that's all part of the class. We'll go over the application process because it can be a little intimidating. There's more than one way to submit your application. We explain all of them.
If somebody wants to take a course from you, how do they do that?
Well, the best way to find my class dates and sign up is to go online on my website, concealedcarrynola.com, and you'll see the schedule up there on the schedule page, and you can click on it and sign up. Once you sign up, you get an email with instructions on where to meet, what to bring, how to apply. There'll be links in there to some documents for you to read before you come so you can start educating yourself before you arrive.
And at some point, you bring them to the range, right?
To the range. You have to shoot. Yeah. That is part of it. In my class, you actually take three different tests, one of them shooting.
All right. Concealed Carry NOLA.
Carry NOLA. Yep. That's it.
Have you seen more women signing up for classes in recent months? And along that line, I will add on to hand size as it relates to picking a gun, because some women have big hands, some men have small hands, etc. How important that the gun fit your hand? That's very important, I guess.
Yes, it is. As far as shootability, if you can't grip three fingers gripping the grip of the gun, then it's going to have a tendency to rotate. Also, another consideration is going to be, do you have any arthritis issues or hand strength issues? Because if you do, then you're going to need something that's going to be a little easier to, like, rack the slide. You might even want to go with a revolver because you can't rack the slide. Mm-hmm. That's sometimes what the reason for a revolver is, that people can't handle manipulating the slide. There are some tricks to doing it, though. So a lot of folks would just tell women to stay away from semi-autos. But most of the women in my life carry semi-autos. Once you show them the tricks to how to handle racking the slide, it's a technique thing. It's not that hard. So, but those things are part of it. Yes, hand strength.
I would not feel comfortable doing this hour if I would not tell people right now, take a course. It doesn't have to be Dave's course, but I will highly recommend Dave, but take a course so you know what you're doing, because I don't want anybody to get hurt as a result of this. I'm just trying to give you information. Real quick, Dave, what, do people tell you why they're signing up or not, or is that part of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we tend to have those conversations because we do. In the use of force part of the class, we go through scenarios to make sure people understand what the laws just said, and so they can see how it matches up with real-life scenarios. And usually we tie them into things they already know, incidences that they already know. And at that time, usually people go, yeah, that's why I'm here, because I had something happen to me. Someone tried to carjack me, or I was late at night, I looked out the peephole, and there was a guy standing on the porch with a gun while somebody's trying to break in my car, All of those kind of things.
Thank you, Dave. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. It's concealedcarrynola.com.
Yes, sir. That is it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Everybody be safe, and I hope we helped you out. Dave Newman, thanks. A pleasure as always. We're going to take a quick break. Come back here on WWL.
The COVID-19 pandemic showed us how a microscopic virus could upend our lives. There is so much out there that we need to understand. But for every threat, there are heroes working at the edges of science and policy to protect us. I'm Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, former Detroit Health Director and host of Crooked Media's America Dissected. Every episode, I talk to the doctors, scientists, culture makers, and policy leaders who are working out new ways to protect us against our biggest threats. New episodes of America Dissected every Tuesday. Listen on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Pod Save the World, we want to be your cheat sheet for global events. My name is Tommy Vitor, and each week, my co-host Ben Rhodes and I break down the biggest stories from around the world. Ben and I both worked on President Obama's national security staff, and we'll introduce you to the activists, politicians, and journalists who can help us understand what's going on around the world, what it means for the United States, and what it's like being inside the White House Situation Room during a crisis.
Listen on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.